You know, some people think that I tell my story to get praise or to, you know, be on the news or be on shows like this. And you don't realize how difficult it is to become so vulnerable and to open your family up to that scrutiny. But I know how important it is, because when a news segment airs, I get hundreds and sometimes thousands of comments and messages and people who are suffering in silence. And they tell me how much inspiration they get. And so I don't want my struggles and everything that I've suffered to be in vain. Like, I really believe that God gives people struggles and trials to overcome them and then to be that hope and help to other people.
And a Safford City Council member is suspending his campaign for Congress.
A Safford City Councilman has suspended his campaign for Congress after suffering a heroin overdose.
His name is Chris Taylor. You may have actually know the name very well. It's been very publicized here in the Arizona media and the Arizona press.
Chris Taylor was running for the Republican nomination to challenge Democrat Tom O'Halloran this November.
And tonight, Chris Taylor says he is seeking treatment for substance abuse.
We first met Chris Taylor in 2017 as we dug in on the opioid problem plaguing the eastern Arizona city of Safford.
In a previous campaign ad, Taylor opened up about his struggles with opioid addiction after two tours in Afghanistan.
Taylor, a veteran who fought off addiction to open his own treatment center, was poised to be the success story for Safford. But he went backwards as old demons resurfaced last week. A relapse that resulted in an overdose. In a statement to suspend his congressional campaign, Taylor was very direct, saying, quote, "I'm not going to hide from this. I'm not ashamed of what happened. I wish to sincerely apologize to the amazing people who have supported me. It's a haunting reminder of a dark past that will always be looking over the shoulder of a bright future."
All right, everybody, welcome to this special edition of the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. I am your host, Chris Taylor. And, you know, I sat back today. This is January 6th, Wednesday. I started the day turning on the TV to watch the proceedings as the joint session of Congress, the House and the Senate, presided over by the president of the Senate, which is the vice president of the United States, Mike Pence. I watched as a sizable crowd gathered in front of the White House and listened to the president of the United States continue to to spew outright lies and conspiracies that have been shot down over and over and over, with over 60 court cases in front of many Republican judges, many Trump appointed judges, that said this is nonsense. The Supreme Court unanimously saying, "You have no standing, you have no evidence." Every state in the union, many of them with Republican governors, Republican secretaries of state, Republican election officials, Republican governors, certified every state election results. And my state, Arizona, did so overwhelmingly. And so today I expected there to be a little bit of some, you know, shenanigans. I watched as the president, right before the proceedings in the joint session of Congress, tell his supporters to be strong and to march on the Capitol and to take this, overturn this result, this election, by force if necessary. And I watched as President or Vice President Pence gaveled in the session and started to count the electoral votes, Alabama, Alaska, and then came Arizona. And as Congressman Paul Gosar, somebody that I have a personal relationship with, somebody who I met with, and he was very cordial and very kind and supportive when during my campaign, and then when I was forced to suspend my campaign, he publicly supported me. And you know, I don't agree with most of his politics and rhetoric, but I believe him to be a decent person. And so when he was the congressman that stood up and objected to the state Arizona's electors, and then Senator Ted Cruz was there to back him up, making it possible to adjourn the joint session and then go into to go into the House and the Senate and have them debate for up to 2 hours just on Arizona. And then presumably when they went back, they would get through the rest of the alphabet until they got to the G's in Georgia. There was talk that that was same thing would happen. They would go back for 2 hours and do the same thing. To keep in mind that they did not have anywhere near the numbers needed to overturn the electors. And again, Vice President Mike Pence had absolutely no role in all this except for ceremonial, you know, largely ceremonial and formality, if you will. And so as they got into about, you know, two or three senators in, I was very surprised at Senator Majority Leader until a couple of days from now, Mitch McConnell, finally found his backbone and spine and gave a spot on speech about how the president had every right to pursue every legal avenue to put forth his case in courtroom after courtroom and state legislature after state legislature, and every single one was shot down, and now it's over, and now we, you know, we need to move on. And then Senate Minority Leader, until a few days from now, Chuck Schumer said the same. Pat Toomey, a Republican, respected Republican, said the same. Ted Cruz was off in a fantasy land, of course, calling for a joint bipartisan commission of five senators and five House members and five Supreme Court justices to study the evidence and make a decision. He knows full well, being a Supreme Court, being an attorney who argued, you know, his early in his career in the Supreme Court, knowing full well that there's absolutely no evidence. And though there was precedence for what he was calling for in 1876 with the election, the difference being that in that election, those states that were contested sent two sets of electors. They sent for the Republicans and the Democrats, they sent two different sets of electors. So they had no choice but to set up that commission and go through the whole thing. That didn't happen here. That actually did not happen whatsoever. Every state certified their election results and sent Biden electors to the Electoral College, and all the formalities were there and done. And so there's no precedent for that in this case. And then, of course, right after that took place, all hell broke loose. And, you know, what I saw was nothing short of sedition. It really, really was. And I will read the definition of sedition in American law. It's a serious felony punishable by fines and up to 20 years in prison. And it refers to the act of inciting revolt or violence against a lawful authority with the goal of destroying or overthrowing it. How can you sit there and say that the President of the United States did not do that very thing in front of the White House minutes before the joint session of Congress convened to certify or to formally count the electoral votes and solidify Joe Biden's election to the presidency of the United States? The people immediately after the president was done speaking, he said, basically lied to them saying, join me to march to the Capitol. And they did that. And then they breached the outer perimeter, which, mind you, if you've ever been to the Capitol, there's always a perimeter. They always have at least 200 feet around where you can't get on to the steps to the, you know, you can be there in the parking lot and take pictures from kind of 200 feet away, but nobody is ever allowed up on the steps. And these people breached the perimeter, and then nothing short of violent coup took place. And those people who are saying, well, I've seen worse. I've seen Antifa and BLM do worse. Look, I get a lot of flack for always criticizing the right and then being silent on the left. And I've said that before. It's because I don't really care about my neighbor, the left. I care about what I consider and still consider to be my house, the Republican Party and the conservative right, at least the moderate conservative right. And so that's why I do that. But make no mistake, I have condemned in the strongest terms the violent looting and burning of American cities by the agitators in those protests. And look, it's no different than what's happening right now, other than the fact that they stormed the Capitol while the duly elected government of the United States, the legislative branch, was in convention doing their duty to the Constitution that they all swore an oath to uphold. And the people that you incited, carrying Trump flags and oddly, hardly any American flags whatsoever, stormed the steps of Congress, breached the doors, shot through the building, went into the Senate and House floors, and sat in the Speaker of the House's office. I mean, this is unprecedented. The last time that anybody was able to breach the halls of Congress was when the British invaded during the War of 1812. So to sit here and say that you've seen worse, I'm sorry, but burning a few city blocks in Portland is not the same as storming the Capitol of the Capitol building of the United States while the vice president was presiding over a joint session of Congress, and where United States congressmen and senators had to shelter in place under their desks with gas masks on while armed intruders were bursting through the doors, okay? This is ridiculous. And anybody who is trying to condone this and to say that this is okay, I'm sorry, but you are un-American. You are undemocratic. You do not love this country. You do not stand for the Constitution. You stand for everything against it. And you are the very definition of domestic enemies. You know, when you take the oath of office and the oath of the military, which I did in both as an elected official and as a soldier, to uphold and to support the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. What we saw today was domestic terrorism, was sedition, was an attempted coup on a duly elected government, and they were doing exactly what you wanted them to do. Mr. Gosar stuck his neck out. Senator Cruz stuck his neck out to appease you. And while they were doing what the Constitution allows for, to debate, albeit baseless claims of a rigged election, they still were appeasing and doing exactly what you wanted, and you didn't let them do it. You stormed in while they were doing what you wanted. And how can you say that you're for law and order? How can you say that you stand for the Constitution? You don't. You don't. Simple as that. You lost an election. Get over it. Come back stronger in 2024. And by the way, the reason you lost the two races in Georgia, the Senate, last night, was because of this. I want to cuss so bad, but I won't. Because of this BS that you are condoning and that you are perpetrating against the United States of America. Now, gratefully, there were many people who have been staunch supporters of the president in Congress, like Congressman Crenshaw and Congressman Gallagher, both Iraq and Afghanistan veterans, that stood up and said, "This is sickening. I have not seen this since I was in Iraq in 2007, this kind of upheaval and this kind of lunacy and fringe." You know, enough is enough, okay? What we saw today was probably the most sickening scene in American history, and at least in our lifetimes. And to sit here and try to equate it to anything else, you know, you're just a hypocrite, because you sat there several months ago when there were looters and violent protesters and rioters in all of those cities that burned city blocks and that stormed courthouses and stuff like that, and you were completely against it. They harmed law enforcement officers. And what happened today? Several law enforcement officers were attacked and who are now in the hospital. You know, I mean, how can you sit here and not condemn what you saw? If you're not condemning what you saw, and if your reaction is, well, look at what Antifa does, look at what BLM does, who cares? You said that you were better than them. You said that you were for law and order. You said that you were for peace and processes in our democracy, and that you stand for democracy. Well, you proved otherwise today. And I fear for what is going to happen in the next 13 days leading up to the inauguration of Joseph R. Biden, who is our president-elect and who will be sworn in regardless of your BS. And those people who are staying silent, I won't even speak on the president because I just have nothing else to say. But those of you who are staying silent and saying that this is all okay and this is all fine, you don't deserve to call yourselves patriots. You don't deserve to call yourself American patriots and constitutionalists, because you are in direct opposition to everything that those statements mean. And I will leave it at that. But I really hope that now as the Democrats take power in the Senate and the House and the White House, that they don't round up everybody who was involved in the seditious acts today and put them in prison, including the inciter of the sedition, the President of the United States himself. I understand that articles of impeachment are being drawn up right now for what he did today and also what he did in the phone call the other day to the Georgia Secretary of State. Make no mistake, this is a coup, and everything that you are railing against is actually, if you looked in the mirror, you'd be railing against yourself if you lived in reality. And I cannot condemn it in any stronger terms than that. I will continue to fight for my country. I'll continue to fight for the soul of the Republican Party. I am registered as an independent right now, but I still believe in the Republican ideals. I still believe in the conservative values and principles that this country was founded upon. And I hope that this right here, what we saw today, was the death throes of a cult that will no longer be able to grip the power structure of the Republican Party, and that normal level-headed, we 80% of the country will come back, and those of us in the Republican Party that have a brain and have a heart and care about this country and care about the Constitution and put our lives on the line to uphold the Constitution, we'll finally push out these extremist fringe cultists out. It's over. You have destroyed what should have been a great election for the Republicans. You lost two Senate seats in Arizona and in Georgia, two very Republican states, because of this type of BS that is happening today. And you have nobody to blame but yourselves. So you can cry fraud and conspiracy all you want, but in reality, you just lost. And you ruined it for the rest of us Republicans that are really conservatives and that really care about this country and this Constitution. Thank you for listening to this special bonus episode of the Come This Far podcast with Chris Taylor. God help us. God bless the United States of America. I will see you all on the other side. Remember, you have a platform. You have a voice. Whether your sphere of influence is large or small, you must not remain silent in the face of this kind of sedition. You must stand up. You must be vocal. We have to take back this country from this lunatic fringe. They are the minority. They are the minority. Don't let their loud voices and their anger make it seem like their numbers are larger than they are. Thank you again. This is Chris Taylor with the Come This Far podcast.